He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday. It's the Monday edition, and it's the November 1st. Welcome to November. It's the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson and chartered financial analyst Barry Kite. Good morning, Barry.
Good morning, Bill. Okay. Hope you had a great weekend.
Yeah, we've got not bad. We got a little squishiness in the market here that I'm seeing. So far, the Dow's up 58, but it's pretty much Exxon and McDonald's, and they're only up a few percentage points. Over at the NASDAQ, we've just gone negative. We're down 16, I think, on the NASDAQ. But we did have a pretty good week last week. The NASDAQ did hit new highs last week, and we have a big lineup of companies that are going to report this week. I want to say 195 companies from the S&P 500 will be reporting earnings this week. And it's pretty much the earnings that set this market on fire a couple weeks ago. The S&P has gone into negative territory now, down about 3 points right now to 4602, but 4600, first time we've seen 4600, that was last week. And we've got crude oil. We want to keep our eye on crude oil this week. Boy, the small caps, I just noticed, they're up 1.3% today. There must be a couple big winners there. Crude oil is up $1.18. Oh, man, $84.75. And obviously, Barry, you see it here, the price at the gas pump just keeps rising, and people aren't happy.
Well, yeah, you know when they're complaining about the gas prices at Costco? That's when there's a problem.
Yeah. So. Gold up $8 to $17.92. And last but not least, Bitcoin up 1,500 to 61,874. So welcome to today's post-Halloween Best Stocks Now show. Welcome to November. November the 1st, we begin a new month. We've got a big week of earnings this week in the market. We're going to have 195 companies that will report from the S&P 500 that will report earnings this week. I've got an important update on where we're at so far with this earnings season, with about 50% of the companies reporting in so far. And I would say last week the big stories were Amazon and Apple disappointing. But, you know, it wasn't that far off. And you had, of course, Facebook changing its name to Meta, M-E-T-A, which means dead in Hebrew, okay? They were making a lot of fun of it in Israel, the new name for Facebook, Day of the Dead. And, of course, I think the bigger story last week, the biggest story was Tesla hitting $1 trillion in market capitalization. So, and on top of the earnings reports that will be pouring in this week, it'll start tomorrow. It'll be a flood. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, we'll be loaded with the earnings reports. But we also have the Federal Reserve meeting this week. And, you know, Barry, I don't know. Obviously, they're not going to do anything with interest rates. But I guess the taper.
It'll be more importantly, it'll probably be the statement, right? Which is, you know, what usually comes out the next day. So my guess is no raise, and then we'll get a statement and everybody will pick it apart with the old Fed speak as normal. But, and then of course what we had the Glasgow, climate conference start, you know, today. And just fittingly, we have Nutrien will be reporting later this afternoon,
oh,
I believe.
Good. So. I hope it smells good. I hope it passes the smell test, Nutrien, our fertilizer holding. And we had mixed Chinese factory activity data for October. China continues to struggle. We also have an OPEC meeting this week. Will they open up the spigot a little bit? Yeah, gasoline here about 329, 325, probably up another 20 cents over the last week or so. Well, they just completed the G20 meeting. That was in Rome, Italy, and they really didn't accomplish much, really, with the climate. The climate reviews coming out of the G20 this past week, they made a little bit of progress with commitments from many of the countries to stop financing new coal-fired power plants overseas. But the big one, you know, is in Glasgow, Scotland, that begins today. That's where I have half of my ancestors from my mother's line were from Glasgow, Scotland. So we'll see. The last name, Shields, S-H-I-E-L-D-S. The other half were from England, Northumberton, England. So I always watch news coming out of there. Will Europe give... will Russia give Europe a little more natural gas? Are they going to continue to play games with that? The goal of the Clean Energy Summit to finalize the 2015 Paris Agreement, which we're back in. Trump took us out of the Paris Agreement. Now we're back in. They want to limit the rise in average world temperature to well below 2 degrees. Preferably to 1.5 degrees Celsius, compared with pre-industrial levels. And they'll talk about carbon offset. And, of course, you know, there's a big move for the rich companies like us to pay for the poor companies. And we're talking hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars here at stake. And that's where President Biden is today in Glasgow. He currently has a half a trillion dollar plan to cut greenhouse gas emissions. So we'll see what happens with all of this. The clean energy stocks, I'm sure, will be in play this week. You know, whether it's Generac, whether it's Sunrun, whether it's Enphase or some of these ETFs that track clean energy, we'll definitely be watching that. This week, the wind stocks too, solar, TAN, different stocks from that sector, and of course the electric vehicle stocks will be in play, I would imagine, this week. What are we going to change FANG to?
Well, I was curious about that too. I guess the thing is, I don't know if we're changing it because we never changed the G for Google, right? It's, you know, technically there's three A's.
That's
in,
true.
You know, three A's in FANG, and you know, working on the article. MAGA.
That's not gonna fly.
Probably not gonna. That one's probably only work for half of the folks out there.
Yeah.
But it's a dilemma, right? I mean, no different than, you know, I think the administration asking for pump more oil on one end to get gas prices down, right, to get to help an approval rating. And then on the other side, it's, hey, but we need to lower greenhouse emissions.
Curb it.
You know, and I was reading an article earlier today, and it was about, you know, breaking up Shell into green Shell and brown Shell. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, there you go.
Know, I mean, you know, to me, it's a happy medium and how you get there. And what happens if they overshoot it? What happens if we go ice? I mean, what if we drop 3 degrees? Is that good or bad? I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, it could work both ways.
Not good for crops.
Right?
No.
Knock ourselves into an ice age? I don't know.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Then we'll need more fertilizer.
But we'll let them figure it out for now, I guess.
Yeah. So, yeah, I have seen some... ideas. They've been running some contest on what we're going to change FANG to. Last week, information technology kind of led the way. We'll see this week. It was a pretty good week. Well, the NASDAQ hit a new all-time high last week, which, you know, it was one of the sectors. I would say of the three major indexes, the Dow looks the weakest to me. I'm seeing a convergence of the Dow and its 200-day moving average. It keeps getting the gap between the Dow Jones Industrial Average and its 200-day moving average continues to narrow. Okay, I'm watching that. Will there be a crossover? Will the Dow eventually go below that 200-day moving average?
The Metacross, I guess, is what we can refer to it as now. Would it be that
yeah.
Death Cross?
The Death Cross, the Meta Cross. And yesterday we featured the Day of the Meta with our Halloween. And it was a busy evening out there on the streets last night. I was out in a busy neighborhood collecting candy for the grandkids. All right, well, when we come back, we got a lot to talk about. I need two shows. We'll be right back. This is Bill Gunderson of Barry Kite. It's the Best Stocks Now show. Here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show, with the Dow up 94 points. Interest rates are at 1.59. The S&P basically flat right now. And the NASDAQ is now up 14, so things have improved just a little bit here during the break. Okay, so far this earnings season, which companies are reporting their results from the third quarter of this year. We are now in the fourth quarter. We've already got 1 month into the fourth quarter of this year, but these earnings reports are coming in for the third quarter. Now, we've had 56% of the S&P 500 companies reporting. So far, 82% of the companies have beat their earnings estimates. And I would just say that compared to the last quarter, it was like the best I've ever seen. It was sensational. This one is good so far, but nothing like the last quarter. So there may be just a little bit of a leveling off here. But still, we're looking for growth this quarter versus the same quarter last year of 36.6%. The last quarter was almost 100%, but you had, you know, an easier comparison because you were comparing it with the second quarter of 2020, which was the weakest quarter of all during the COVID. So now we're comparing the third quarter of this year with the third quarter of last year, which we were still pretty much in lockdown, weren't we, Barry, in the third quarter of last year?
Right, off and on, right? It was the fits and starts, right? So it was,
yeah.
You know, you certainly had certain parts of the U.S. geography, right, opening up, and then, of course, other parts, right, were still, largely in lockdown. I mean, think about, you know, California this time last year, right? Still very restrictive, New York, you know, so there's, mixed data, and I'm sure there, you know, some of the analysts are kind of, you know, using some of those old seasonality tricks, right, to kind of take that into account. But like you said, quarter over quarter, you know, fabulous beats, at least thus far.
36.6% is what we're expecting. Now, that's going to change every week until this is done. We still got the other half of the S&P 500 companies to report. The revenue growth for Q3 is expected to be up 15.8%. Now, normally, okay, in a normal quarter, when you're not comparing it with COVID, you're usually going to see single digits on revenue growth. And in earnings growth, you know, a good quarter in normal times is anything double digits, I suppose, pretty good quarter. So 36.6 for earnings and 15.8 versus the same quarter last year. During the upcoming week, 167 S&P 500 companies will report. We've had a few so far this morning. None of any note, really, though. Some second-tier stocks. I have the forward P.E. ratio on the S&P right now at 22. Oh, man. The five-year average is 18. The 10-year average is 16.2. And it's our friends at the Fed that will be meeting this week that have enabled, for the most part, and, you know, anxious investors, irrational exuberance. I don't know. We'll see. We'll find out. But between, pretty voracious appetite for stocks from investors and historically low interest rates from the Fed, that's moved the forward PE of the market up to 22. Many would call that a bubble. It's not as bad as the one back in 2000 where we got up to like 25 to 28, somewhere in there. But this is historically high, but against historically low interest rates. That's why, Barry, we got to watch the interest rates so closely, because when they start to rise, which they have to do that at some point in time, it's going to shrink that multiple, right? I mean, it affects the discount rate.
Right, and the discount rate in, you know, divisor-wise, right, is going to be, you know, is interest rates. So in terms of, you know, as interest rates go up, that's going to, you know, all else being equal, is going to, you know, call for a lower multiple.
Yep,
and
exactly.
So, you know, but it is interesting when you start using those 10-year averages. I remember, you know, doing the same thing, you know, 5 or 6 years ago, right, coming out of 08-09.
Yep.
You know, and we're in a similar spot in terms of P.E. ratios, and, you know, it was like that 5- or 10-year average was, you know, closer to like 12 or 14.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's the return to the mean has gotten even, you know, not as much of a return, at least, you know, as it has been in the past. So it'll be, historically, it's interesting to see how those numbers have ticked up over the years.
Yeah, and I would say I've talked to a lot of old-timers, you know, value investors and whatnot, and their number basically is 10. They
right.
want 10 on the market, on stocks they buy, and we haven't had 10 for a long, long time, but we're at a five-year average right now of 18.1. And the other big number for this quarter, the profit margin is going to be, it's on track to be the second best in history at 12.8%, which I think is a big, you know, tip of the cap to these CEOs in an inflationary environment, in a tight labor environment, in a COVID environment for the S&P 500 companies. Of course, the profit margin, some of those software companies, and, you know, the Microsofts of the world, they really boost that profit margin. I mean, you're not going to see that kind of a profit margin in the industrials and Caterpillar and whatnot, but the average is going to come in at 12.8, right around there. That's the second best in the history since these records have been kept on the S&P 500 companies. For the year, analysts are now projecting earnings growth of 44.2%. Okay, so why is the S&P 500 up this year? Because analysts projecting earnings growth of 44.2%. You say, well, why isn't the market up 44%? Because the market's looking at next year's earnings now. It priced in this year's earnings last year. That's why the market doubled from March to March, because it was looking at we just had a doubling of earnings the last quarter. And the market was in front of that by 9 months, 9 to 12 months. So now, obviously, the key numbers are what are the S&P 500 companies going to make in 2022 and 2023? We're in 2022, I guess. What are we in? Well, we're 2021. So 22 and 23. And I've been publishing those numbers, what the expectations are. And there was a pretty big tweak to them this week. And I published those in the newsletter at Gunderson Capital. Com. So that's the rundown on where we're at in this earnings season with a big week in front of us still. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. When we come back, I got a lot of individual stocks to talk about. This is the Best Stocks Now show. Second half of today's Best Stocks Now show with the Dow up 94, 35,913. Bitcoin down 621. Ethereum down 50. The S&P up 4 points, or down 3 points right now. And the NASDAQ up 22. So things have improved a little bit there on the NASDAQ. Okay, so last week was a big week for the electric vehicle stock. Now, I know that Hertz bought a bunch of cars, 100,000 cars from Tesla, but Uber had a, was that a separate buy of 50,000 or something like that?
Yeah, it was weird. It was almost like Uber was going to use some of Hertz that they were getting, I thought.
Yeah.
It was kind of an odd, it was like almost like Hertz got the cars, is going to get the cars from Tesla, and then, you know, then Uber's going to use some of the cars that Hertz got. So it was almost like a quasi partnership slash, you know, I don't know if it actually increased the total orders, but it certainly could increase demand going forward.
Yeah, and it stirred up talk again of the robo-taxis, which Tesla really wants to lead the way at some point in time. The flying taxis, in other words, or the robotic ones. I guess the automated ones, right, without a driver.
With the robo-taxis, my only thing is, you know, to me, the more you get into robo-taxi world, the less cars you actually need, but that's neither. I mean,
yeah.
If my car's not sitting in my driveway, if it's driving someone else around at the moment, which is kind of the idea in a subscription based, well, then I don't need an extra. You know, then that's one less car, right? That needs to be out there in reality. So
yeah.
You know, you can almost be too efficient and reduce the number of actual units that you need to sell. But that's just that's my take on it.
And most people are saying 2030 on the robo taxis at the earliest. Okay, before we have cars driving around carrying people without a driver. But it is interesting, you know, to keep our eye on the advances there. Rivian is the one I'm waiting for to go public. That's going to be a monster.
Didn't they roll off? They had their first delivery, or it's upcoming as well, right? Because I know Lucid did last week, and I thought Rivian was coming. I know every time Bezos drives to his rocket ship, you know, they've been riding in a Rivian. Captain Kirk was sitting in the middle of the backseat.
Yeah, and Amazon disclosed that it holds a stake in Rivian, which is trucks, delivery trucks. The Seattle e-commerce giant Amazon previously said that it plans to buy 100,000 electric vans from the automaker for its delivery fleet. So I'm sure Amazon's going to make plenty of money when that thing goes public. I think they have 20% ownership in the company, which is a pretty significant asset for them. And right now, Rivian's electric pickup truck beat models from Tesla, Ford, General Motors earlier. So that's the direction that Amazon is going in, that's going to be an upcoming IPO, and that will be a red hot one. And speaking of, what's the one last week that was so hot?
Oh, Lucid.
Yeah, they delivered their first car, and that stock it was out of control. I mean, it was careening out of control on the freeway. I mean, that stock just absolutely ripped higher last week. You know, we've been saying for quite some time that, you know, they're probably the next one to, the biggest one to really challenge. Lucid already has a bigger market cap than GM, I want to say, and they've only delivered one car. So, yeah, you know.
And it's a pure play, right? That's the trick is, you know, you can buy Ford, you could buy GM for getting electric vehicle exposure, but if you want just electric vehicle exposure, right, you have a limited number of, you know, options. I mean, you've got, you know, Tesla, Lucid, right, Go EV, you know, there's a handful of others, but you know, those are pure plays versus, you know, your big automaker that's going to have a combination of combustible and electric.
Yeah, so. And Ford did have a big week last week. It broke out to new all-time highs. I don't know if it was the dividend or advances in the electric car industry. Now, having said all that, guess what Morgan Stanley's favorite electric vehicle stock is? What do you think it is?
I'm guessing, let's say, Ferrari?
Yeah, you saw that article, too.
Oh, Ferrari. No, is that who it is, really?
Yeah, Ferrari is the favorite electric vehicle stock at Morgan Stanley. Right. The symbol is RACE, R-A-C-E, which is now at $241 per share. Morgan Stanley gives it a price target of $265, so there's not much upside potential there, but that's their favorite electric vehicle stock. Then you've got, Robinhood. Listen to this. Their revenue from Dogecoin in Q3 was only $20 million. In Q2, it was $145 million in revenue from Dogecoin. So, yeah, Dogecoin definitely is not the hot stock that it was. Casinos, Macau casino revenues take a step back, soft October. Well, yeah, if you go to Macau to gamble, you have to go into quarantine for a couple weeks or something like that. Not many people are going to do that. You know, I know they're anxious to get their bets down, but to go into quarantine. So that's hurting the gaming stocks. Trump's SPAC media deal may have violated securities laws, says the New York Times. And I would just say that the New York Times doesn't exactly like Trump. And I would probably say that the SEC doesn't particularly like. They'll probably get him on something, you know. But apparently he was talking this thing up before it went public, which may be a violation of securities laws because SPACs aren't supposed to have a merger plan before the SPAC has its IPO. Okay, so there's the rub right there. We'll see what happens with that. And, of course, Patrick Orlando, the CEO, he's been around for a long, long time. I want to say he's the CEO of the big baseball card company, Grading and publicly traded. Kind of a wheeler dealer is Patrick Orlando. Barclays CEO's got to step down. He got caught up in the Epstein investigation.
Yeah. That was just, when I saw it, I was like, just now? I mean, you think you would have gotten caught up in that a little bit before now.
Yeah. And he was considered to be a very, very good CEO over there at Barclays. I have a new term for your vocabulary, hodlers. Do you know what a hodler is? Not a holder, an ETF hodler.
I had to look up the last one that was, what, flipping? Or it was, I don't know what hodlers is. Enlighten me.
H-O-D-L is hang on for dear life. So I'm a hodler when my wife says she's a hodler when I'm driving. She holds on for dear life. But that's what a hodler is. You're holding on to your Bitcoin for dear life. You're not going to sell it come hell or high water. Okay. You're going to hold on to that. And I read that the supply of Bitcoin right now is pretty tight because of the hodlers that are holding. And that's helped drive up the price of Bitcoin to over 60,000. It got up to 68,000 here recently. That was its all-time high. So there's a new one for your. You got the metaverse. We're hodling in the metaverse. We're holding on for dear life. Let's check in on Bakkt, BKKT. They got all kinds of deals this past week, and it's one of those meme stocks now. It was up 255% here over the last 2 or 3 weeks. Today it's down 6.6%. But, you know, they're the ones that teamed up with the Fiserv and MasterCard to help with their cryptocurrency ambitions. And then the Chinese stocks are all reporting, or the Chinese EV stocks. You've got Li Auto reporting their sales today. Li is just barely up. You've got NIO, which had a pretty good report. NIO is up 2.6%. And you've got XPeng. I thought they had the best report. That stock is up 2.3% overall. But there's a lot of reluctance to get involved in Chinese stocks these days, including right here at our firm, Gunderson Capital Management. Okay, when we come back, the stocks of the day, I think it will be stocks plural. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. We'll be right back.
You got to go where you want to go.
Back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. If you missed the newsletter over the weekend, you can get 2 free weeks. It went out to all my clients and all my live trading subscribers. Go to GundersonCapital.com. If you'd like to set up an appointment to talk with us, 855-611-BEST, toll free from anywhere in the country, 855-611-BEST. Well, I would say so far the sector of the day without question is the energy, the oil and gas sector, with oil pushing up to $84 a share and many seeing no stopping it to $100, not per share, per barrel, no stopping it to $100 per barrel. And there are many very big winners in that oil sector. One of the stocks that I would feature here, SM Energy. The symbol is SM. It is a small cap stock. It has a beautiful, beautiful stock chart. And it's moving up. It shows up on my moving up in rank list today, which hopefully will be available to all our subscribers soon. I'm having a big conference call today with all the developers working on the app upgrade. SM Energy currently has a relative strength. It also comes from my momentum list, A-plus momentum. It has relative strength of 99. It's a little extended from its what I call the pivot point or breakout point, which was at 27. It's currently at 37. It's up about 35% from its pivot point. But the earnings estimates for next year, I see $4.33. Stock's trading at 37, so it's trading at about 9 times forward earnings. They are out of Denver, Colorado, SM Energy. The symbol is SM, a small cap. Not a recommendation. It's just an example of what I would consider to be a best stock now. The other one that's catching my eye this morning, uranium's back in play. You know, I just don't see how nuclear can't be a big part of the future. But, you know, you've got just as many people against the nukes, it would seem like, the nuclear power plants, which is a very clean burning energy and very efficient form of energy.
But Europe uses it a lot.
Yeah.
France, I think, I forget what the percent of French power is made up of nuclear energy. And I was even in New York City in Washington Square, and they had a big, it wouldn't, I guess it wasn't really a protest. I guess it's a more, it's what you call a rally if you're for something, but they were, you know, it was for clean, nuclear. And so, you know, you don't see those all the time. So it was,
no.
You know, it was a pro, you know, nuclear power, get together. So it was,
yeah.
And it seemed pretty festive as we walked by in Greenwich Village, about a month or two ago.
Yeah, I was at the No Nukes concert back in the late 70s.
Right.
Not
yeah,
there because completely. I believed in the cause. I believed in, I liked the music and the artists that were there. Jackson Brown, Bruce Springsteen, Crosby, Stills, and Nash. I mean, that was a heck of a good lineup to see.
Right.
And there was an album from it. I'm sure you can download that with your Amazon all-you-can-eat music app. But uranium energy, UEC, is that's a very nice setup on the chart there. UEC is currently ranked at number 24 out of 5,954. This is basically a micro cap. It's just under $1 billion in are we going to get any nuclear-powered cars? I don't know about that. We have certainly have nuclear-powered battleships and aircraft carriers and things like that.
Submarines, yeah.
Yeah, sure. Uranium Energy, UEC, which is headquartered in Corpus Christi, Texas, down on the Gulf Coast. They're $4 a share, this stock. It's traded 3.3, and it's just starting to break out. It's only 9% from its pivot point. Same idea there. It has a relative strength of A+, and on the Investor's Business Daily scale of 98 on a scale of 1 to 99. And the third one is one that we own, a company that upended the orthodontics industry that had a good report last week, Align Technology. That was a huge disruptor. That's Invisalign. And now they're getting into the dentures and all this and that. Invisalign is having, or Align is having a huge day today. It's up $36 per share. I actually bought some more last week for new clients that have come in because the stock had pulled back and was sitting right on its long-term support line, just under $600. That was a pretty timely buy. It's hitting $661 today. After their earnings report, there's probably an upgrade out there somewhere.
Yeah, the denture side is huge. That's what. You know,
yeah.
And Christina's got, you know, she's got some ties to the dental industry, and she was actually explaining to me why it was so important in terms of, you know, dentures, why they don't fit, and, you know, kind of aligns, you know, take on how, you know, how they're gonna, you know, help alleviate that. So.
Yep. And it was a guy at Stanford who was not even a dentist or in the dental school, studying dentistry or anything, that came up with this whole Invisalign concept, and really was, it's one of the blockbuster stocks of all time. It was like $40, you know, 7 years ago. Now it's $660, and it's up again today, 5.4% ALGN. Get this, it's now a $52 billion company, $52 billion, really from a standing start back in, I don't know how long it's been around. It went public, I want to say pretty long, maybe back in 2001 is when it went public, and it's just been a huge winner over the last 10 years or so. All right, well, we talked about a lot today. I'm tired of talking here. I got to get to work looking at some charts. I do that during the breaks. Be an interesting day today, and we'll keep you posted during the day. We'll be on at Bill Gunderson at StockTwits. We got to get you on there, Barry, on StockTwits. Also, 855-611-BEST, GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.